When I was in Lebanon, it's almost 4 years ago now, Adrian Gardner, who is the Canadian Baptist Ministries Director for Asia and the Americas, was there with us and our team. And he gave a very memorable sermon. And it's memorable because 4 years later, as soon as I heard this passage, I remembered what he said. And his main point was that the sower scattered good seed, that no matter what, the seed was good. The problem with whether it grew or not did not lay with the seed. It wasn't mixed seed that had weeds or some other plant mixed in with it. It wasn't inferior seed that wouldn't have grown no matter where it was planted. The seed was good. And so as we get into the parable today, I would like us to keep in our mind that the seed is good and will do good things no matter where it is sown and no matter what we see. Interestingly, when Jesus told parables, they were usually open to interpretation on the part of the hearer. Out of the 30 to 40 parables that Jesus told, only two of them did he really explicitly explain. This happens to be one of them, which probably makes my job a little bit easier, but may make it so that we think we don't have to listen to it as well. But in this parable, we have a few characters. We have the sower, we have the seed, and we have the different types of fields or soil, like I was showing the kids earlier. In verse 19, Jesus states that the seed is the word of the kingdom. Now, this parable is also again told in 3 out of 4 of the Gospels. So Mark says that the seed is the word. Luke says it's the word of God. And Mark, as we said the word of the kingdom. And so it's pretty easy for us to understand that the seed is from God. It is not us or any other source that is that good seed. And so in light of this, we know what's being planted. The seed is God's word. We also know what each field means. These fields are the hearers of God and how they respond to what they hear. The first field is the path where the birds eat the seed. So it said, some seeds fell on a path and the birds came and ate them up. And Jesus says that those are people who hear God's word, but they just don't understand them. So the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. Now, notice Jesus is not calling the hearer bad or evil. Rather, Jesus is just saying they didn't understand. There's no judgment on what the hearer or on the hearer or the seed. The seed is still good, and the hearer did not understand what they heard. So was the seed wasted? Jesus doesn't make any judgments on this either. He seems to be implying that the good seed is being scattered everywhere, and it doesn't matter what happens to it after it's thrown. The important thing is that it is sown. The good seed has no chance to grow if it's not planted. Second, the rocky field is where the seed sprang up quickly, but then died just as quickly. So this is the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a little while. When trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. This hearer of the word is excited quickly and disinterested just as quickly. It's a surface interest in God's word. Third, we have the thorny field, where the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. This hearer of the word is distracted by all the good advice and activities available in this life, and so the messages of God are lost in the clutter of their mind and the world. And then finally, we come across the good soil. This is the one who hears the word and understands it. who bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30 times what was planted there. This hearer is ready to hear and ready to obey God's word. They're open to the leading and power of the Holy Spirit. They are not distracted by many things, but instead are ready to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I remember growing up as a child hearing this story and examining myself and thinking, where am I? Which one of these soils am I? What do I need to do in order to get to be the good soil? And I do think that this is a good place to start. And so we are going to start there. It's worthwhile to consider whether the field of our lives is prepared and ready for Jesus to produce whatever Jesus wants to produce in us. So we might ask ourselves that very question. What type of soil have I resembled throughout my life? And likely, each of us have been one of those soils at different times in our life. And we may probably head that way again, the good and the bad. Now, we're going to start with the hard path, and I'm going to ask you some questions, so I just want you to think about that. When in my life have I been like this? When have I been a hard path, not understanding what's being said to me, and so carrying on without considering God or God's place in my life? And then, when have I been rocky ground, excited when I heard the good news? Something in God's word drew me and made me want to be part of that kingdom. But when difficulties rose, I questioned the goodness of God. When people made fun of me, I hid God's word and I didn't share it. And I quickly decided that being a follower of Jesus was not worth the hassle. And so the seed did not grow, and I did not continue to follow Jesus. When have I been the thorny ground? When have I heard Jesus' words? What Jesus had to say sounded really interesting. But then again, so do many others. I can find advice on podcasts or YouTube or Instagram. I can learn how to improve myself, be more forgiving, how to find peace, or anything else in the past that I might have looked to God for help with. And these things are not necessarily bad. They can be something that God uses to plant seeds in us. But when we begin to follow those things instead of looking to God for all of our answers, then we tend to go that way. We tend to not go towards God. For some reason, that pull is greater towards those other things. Maybe it's easier. I can just turn on something and someone can tell me what to do. Now, when have I been good soil? When have I heard God's word, understood it, and put it into action? When I am the good soil, what I hear makes lasting changes to the way I live, think, and act. I'm filled with sorrow for what I'm doing wrong, and I desire to live in God's way. I soak in the word of God. I'm nourished by their words and fertilized by the Holy Spirit. During these times, I have been attentive to the Spirit, interested in and applying God's word to my life, and acting according to what I'm learning. Now, the last bit of this passage about the good soil is intriguing to me. Why did Jesus mention various amounts of production from the good soil? There's not judgment attached, but he says some will produce 100 times, some 60 times, and some 30 times. Maybe that doesn't trip you up, but for me, I was like, why even add that? At first, it can sound like a judgment. It can sound like some people are better than others. Those who produce 100 times, it seems to imply, are better than those who produce 30 times. But that doesn't actually seem to be what is here. I don't hear judgment in Jesus' words. I think we may be tempted to compare our yield to another. We may name ourselves as better or worse than other Christians. We may make a judgment that some are more successful Christians than others. But it seems to me that Jesus is not as worried about how good we are, but rather if the good seed has grown in us and remains growing. I was thinking about different plants. You know, some plants will bear, you plant them, a corn seed. You plant a corn seed, and you might get 3 cobs of corn on there. But you plant a wheat seed, and you could get 50 wheat seeds from that. One's not better than the other. They are just doing what they're supposed to do. They are yielding, they are producing what they're supposed to produce. And so our focus needs to be on seeing ourselves through God's eyes. Remember that God is a good farmer, and God deals with weeds and stones in our field. And if we're paying attention, God is always encouraging us to keep following, leading us to repentance, and guiding us to a change in direction as needed. If we are the types of soil in this parable, then we should be focused on preparing ourselves to hear and act on God's words. We have considered this parable from the point of view of God as the sower. But there's another perspective worth looking at. In this case, we look at the parable from the viewpoint of us being the sower. So we still got the good seed. God's word is still the good seed. But this time we're the ones sowing God's good seed. This parable shows God as someone who reaches out to everyone. God doesn't decide to only give his word to specific people. Rather, God wants everyone everywhere to be part of the kingdom of God and to hear God's words. God wants to be spread excessively throughout this world, without consideration for what the hearer does or does not do with what they've heard. Similarly, if we as followers of Jesus are sowers, then we need to share God's words indiscriminately. It's not our place to judge whether a person will understand what we're saying or not. It's not our place to choose to whom and when we should share God. It should be part of everything we do, everywhere we go, with whoever we are around. Now, I have to admit that I share my faith much easier with people who I know agree with me or who are at least interested. Those who are hostile or uninterested, I tend to not scatter my seed, God's seed, nearly as freely. I tend to just not say it at all or just put in a tiny little moment, you know, of mentioning Jesus. Now, there's farming equipment that analyzes the ground and decides how much fertilizer to distribute based on the health of the soil. And then it places the fertilizer depending on whether the soil is healthy or not. So fertilizer is spread thinly in places where the... fertilizer is spread thinly in places where the soil is healthy. I wrote it backwards here, sorry. That's why I'm confusing myself. Fertilizer is spread thinly where the soil is healthy, but much more liberally where the soil is unhealthy. I wonder if there is a way to fertilize our conversation with others who are more hostile or hesitant to the gospel so that over time they may become less hard-packed, less rocky, and less weed-infested. Certainly judging others as not worthy or not receptive to the word of God is not what we're to do. He said to spread the word everywhere. Now, this is not easy, but I have met people who share the good news of Jesus in a way, in a good way and a bad way. There are those I have met who share Jesus in such a harsh and uncaring way that whoever they come across feels judged and wants to walk away. However, I can also remember people in my life, and I have to say they are often older women, who Jesus just emanates off them like a beautiful scent of a flower. There's just something about them that draws you to them. There's a kindness, there's a peace, there's a trust in them that I just don't see in other people. And I think that people do notice that when we have those kind of qualities about ourselves, because those qualities come from Jesus. Those are the good seed of Jesus showing in our life, the fruit of the Spirit, you might say. I think of St. Patrick's prayer. At the end it says, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. And Christ in every ear that hears me. This is quite a tall order, but I think this is what Jesus is asking us to do. We are afforded a freedom in Canada that is not available everywhere. In Canada, we are allowed to believe whatever we want. We are allowed to share that belief with whoever we want. And as Baptists, we also believe in religious freedom. We believe that we should be able to share our religion, and also that others have a right to follow their own religion or beliefs. We have this idea of freedom reflected in this parable. God does not force us to believe, but he gives every single one of us the opportunity to be part of God's kingdom. We read earlier from Isaiah 55, and we are reminded here that the good seed, when it's planted, never returns empty. For it says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent. What happens to the seed after it's been thrown out there is God's work. God gives good seed to each of us. The desire is for this seed to plant itself on our heart and develop deep roots that spread through every part of our lives. God's work starts in our own lives. We can't be giving to others what we don't have for ourselves. The seed of God's kingdom planted in our own fertile soil can't help but develop and multiply so that it can be shared with others. Can you create room this week for God's good seed? Can you change or add or take something away from your daily routine to ensure that your soil is ready for planting? God is continually scattering good seed in our lives and the lives of those around us. We also are to sow that seed into each of our daily interactions. Remember, it is good seed, and it is not our responsibility to make it grow. Preparing the field is the work of the Holy Spirit, and each person's own job is to look at their own lives. Growth is God's job. Our responsibility is to tend our own soil with God's word, and then sow the good seed liberally and freely to anyone whose path we cross.